War diary, U-395. Position, grid square AK-3789. 200 miles due east, Rio de Janeiro. Time, 2040, November 10, 1941. Signal from agents notifying us of Southern Pearl's departure from Rio received midnight. Exactly 30 days since we arrived on our station. Southern Pearl sighted at 1921. Preparing to submerge and close in for attack.
The Long Lonely Voyage of U-395 by James Follett. With David Buck as Corvette and Captain Paul Emsman.
Target's range, 9,450 meters. Angle on bow, 90. Course, steady.
Odd that the British should entrust such a vital cargo to such a small ship, Mr. Strauss.
The British probably hope that all U-boat commanders think as you do, Captain.
Mr. Strauss, you'd do well to
remember. Range, 9,350 meters.
Control room, bow torpedo room.
Bow torpedo room, sir.
Stand by, Mr. Mallard.
Standing by, sir. Torpedo set. Outer doors open.
9,300 meters. 25. 10. Target centered.
Bow one, fire.
Stopwatch started.
Bow two, fire. Bow three, fire. Bow four, fire.
Tubes cleared. Torpedoes running.
Bow three trim, sir. Fingers crossed.
Thank you, Chief. God damn it, one's throwing its head up.
May I see, Pip? They won't see it. The lookouts will have the sun in their eyes.
Month we've rotted out that damn ship. Mr. Mallon, what depth did you set those fish to run at?
4 meters, sir.
One of them is trying to fly. By God, if we lose that ship, I... Too long a shot for accuracy, eh, Mr. Strauss? Well, take a look at that. One under her stern and another dead amidships.
Captain.
Of course, it's good shooting. So perhaps now we can have less implied criticism of my methods.
I never criticize, Captain.
I said implied criticism, Mr. Strauss.
As she's lost way and is listing heavily to port. That's odd.
What's the matter?
Well, it's not like the recognition books to make a mistake over a silhouette. The mast above the bridge isn't a mast, it's a loading derrick.
Well, maybe she had a refit in Rio while we were waiting for her. They had long enough.
A listing at about 30 degrees. One lifeboat moving away, but she doesn't appear to be sinking.
We'd better finish her off with the gun. Take her up, Chief.
Raise the rise, blow all tanks.
Look out, send gun crew to control room.
Fire! Reload. Fire!
Nice shooting.
Mr. Mallon, that's enough rounds of incendiary. Start pumping some explosive shells into her. Quickly, man.
Done. No explosives.
Why waste rounds, Captain? She's sinking.
Breaking up the Southern Pearl with high explosive will make it that much more difficult to find if the British decide to send down divers, which is likely if a cargo is as vital as the Admiral says it is. Any more questions, Mr. Strauss?
It was a polite inquiry, Captain.
You received a polite reply.
Oh, there's a man on the stern. I wonder why he didn't get into the lifeboat with the rest of them.
Cease firing!
What's the matter, Mr. Mallon?
Survivor on the stern, sir.
I don't care if there's a girl's choir on the stern. I want that ship blown to pieces.
Sir!
Breaking out the flag. Oh, my God. It's the Stars and Stripes.
Cease firing, Mr. Mallard.
Sir!
Ruse of war?
If it is, it's too damn late.
Control room bridge. Captain, you must stop firing on that ship.
We have, Chief. What's the matter?
Well, we've just picked up her 4S distress call, sir. Extremely weak signal, but she's identified herself as the Thomas Edison, not the Southern Pearl.
What did she say?
Thomas Edison, 200 miles east, Rio de Janeiro, attacked by U-boat sinking.
But what does Lloyd say about it? Quickly.
Just checking, sir. Thomas Edison, GR-Tonnage 2000, the same as the Southern Pearl and with virtually an identical silhouette. Length over...
Oh, no, her port of registration.
Boston, sir, 1922.
Thank you, Chief.
They're court-martialed.
What?
Sinking an American merchantman. The Fuhrer's directive concerning the shipping of neutral countries made specific reference to American ships. Under no circumstances were they to be molested.
You think we'll be court-martialed for sinking a ship that wasn't flying a national flag? You're a bigger fool than I thought, Mr. Strong.
Not us, Captain. You. I was the one who expressed doubts concerning the ship's identity.
After the torpedoes had struck.
Yes, of course. My memory is shocking. The chief engineer is bound to have overheard what we said.
What are you trying to say, Mr. Strout?
Nothing, Captain.
I want to talk to the survivors. Take two men in the inflatable and get that man off the stern before it sinks under him.
Captain?
Bridge control room. Chief, I want to maneuver alongside the ship's lifeboat. Half a headboat on motors. Group down. Steer 270.
Spanish, I think, sir. And no one who looks like a deck officer. Those two with blankets around them look like women.
Very well, Mr. Marin. Do any of you speak German? English, then? Does anyone speak English? If you're an American ship, there must be someone who speaks English.
Down,
the name of your ship, please.
I absolutely forbid you to speak to him, Jenny. Is that quite clear?
Mr. Mallon, those two women, have them brought aboard and taken down to the wardroom.
Through here, please, Fraulein.
Take your disgusting hands off me.
Ah, God, this one bites, sir.
In that case, you'd better wait outside in case I need you.
Yes, sir.
Sit down, if you please, ladies.
We do not please. Jenny, remain standing.
What's the point, Miss Stone? Us being his prisoners and that.
Would you like some coffee, Jenny?
Thank you.
And you, Miss Stone, some coffee? Yes, I'm afraid we have no tea on board.
We will not answer any of your questions. I don't care what you do to us.
Sugar, Jenny?
Yes, please, too.
Black without.
I'm sorry?
Without sugar.
Ah, yes. Now, please, you will both sit. I'm sorry about what happened. I did not know that the Thomas Edison was an American ship.
With a name like that, of course you knew.
Ah, so it was the Thomas Edison.
Be quiet, child.
And you sailed from Rio at midnight.
He knows all about us.
Will you be quiet?
Finish your coffee, please, Miss Stone. Mr. Mallon?
Sir?
Escort this one back to the lifeboat.
Come, Jenny.
Jenny stays.
She comes with me. I'm not leaving without her.
Mr. Mallon?
Please, Fräulein, you will come with me.
Touch me if you dare.
Be careful of your head. No.
Please let me go with her.
You need not look so frightened, Jenny. Do you smoke?
No.
Rio is beautiful, is it not? I was there many times when I was in the Merchant Navy.
Yes, beautiful.
You went up Sugarloaf Mountain, of course.
There wasn't time. We were there only a few days, and I had loads of reports to type.
I always found time to go up Sugarloaf Mountain. The view there is magnificent.
I suppose so.
I used to think that every ship in the world used to go to Rio. There were old friends there. The crew of a British ship taught me to speak English. Ah, now what was its name? It's been so long now. Southern Cross. Oh, no. I remember. It's Southern Pearl. Crew used to have a joke that it could find its way to Rio all by itself.
It still goes there.
Ah, really? Even with the war?
I remember seeing it, because Walt pointed it out to me. He said it was built in the same shipyard as his ship.
Walt?
Walt Dias, the captain of the Thomas Edison.
Ah.
I suppose I shouldn't have told you that. Not that it matters now. He wasn't in the lifeboat. Why did you have to sink us? We wasn't expecting trouble being on an American ship.
Your ship was unmarked. Unmarked ships are enemy ships.
Unmarked?
No flag, not even the stars and stripes painted on the hull, as most American ships are marked.
Well, there was a huge stars and stripes flag.
Flying? I think not.
There was. I know there was. There were so few of us in the lifeboat. There was no sign of Mr. Wentworth or Douglas. Walt was about to get into the lifeboat, but went back when you started shooting. What do you want to go shooting at us for? I was sinking.
Here. It's clean. You can keep it, a war souvenir, if you wish.
Oh, thanks.
My first watch officer is checking the area. I'm sure he'll find any more survivors.
There were screams. Screams coming up the ventilators.
War. You know what I would wish to do but for this war. You know?
No.
I would take you back to Rio. I would sail straight into the harbor and visit my old friends on the Southern Pearl. Pretty silly idea, eh?
Pretty silly waste of time. It sailed 4 days ago.
You see, I'm mad. What's the matter?
Nothing. It's just that it's funny me sitting in a U-boat talking to its captain. It seems sort of unreal, like it's not really happening.
How old are you, Jenny?
23. How old are you?
40.
Life begins at.
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
You are married? Ah, no, I can see not.
Not had the chance, being stuck out here for 3 years.
What were you doing on the Thomas Edison?
I suppose it doesn't matter if I tell you. I was with a party of marine biologists. We was doing a fisheries survey for the Uruguay government.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
That's what I thought when I signed on. But it wasn't. It was dead boring most of the time. Typing thousands of reports for Miss Stone. She's the survey secretary.
Ah.
And not being able to have a good time when we were in Montevideo because she promised my mum to keep an eye on me. She did too. Watch me like a blimming hawk.
When did you leave home?
3rd of March, 1938, we sailed out of Southampton. We were supposed to have been gone 18 months, but the war mucked everything up. We were stuck in Montevideo. Well, after a lot of argument, the British Embassy paid for us to go as passengers on Walt's ship to New Orleans. They said we'd be safe on a Yank ship. Won't you get into trouble for sinking it if you're not at war with them?
Captain, no word with you, please.
Well, excuse me, Jenny. Help yourself to some more coffee.
Oh, thanks.
Well?
I picked up two more survivors. One was the man who broke out the flag. He's the captain. Walt Dias, that's all the information he would give me.
The captain? Well, where is he?
In the lifeboat with the rest.
Well, surely you realized I'd want to talk to him.
Bringing survivors aboard a U-boat is strictly forbidden.
The British have a saying, rules are for the guidance of wise men and the blind obedience of fools.
The British aren't winning this war, Captain.
Until you receive your own command, Strauss, such decisions still rest with me, and I would remind you that the chances of your receiving such a command depend on my end-of-patrol report to the Admiral.
May I speak freely, Captain?
Yes.
I doubt if the words of a man with a court-martial hanging over him for sinking a U.S. ship will carry that much weight, especially when his first watch officer expressed doubt as to the ship's identity.
That was after the torpedoes were fired.
I don't think so. It would have been pointless my expressing doubts after they were fired, as I'm sure the court will agree.
We both saw the captain break out the stars and stripes after the attack. It was an unmarked ship, damn you.
Or was he merely holding the flag out for us to see? Isn't that the more likely explanation? The one the court would accept? After all, it would be hard to believe that even an American would be stupid enough to sail without showing his national flag. And if he did, would he admit to it?
You would lie under oath.
I would have difficulty recalling exact details.
Why, for God's sake?
I think you know the answer to that.
How did you find out?
She told me before we left La Rochelle.
Everything?
Yes.
Then she told you it was all over between us.
Oh, that makes it all right, does it?
Now, I didn't say that. Look, it was over, finished months ago. I haven't seen or spoken to your wife since April. There was hardly anything in it, Max, I swear. A passing infatuation.
In March, when I went on that 2-week refresher course at Kiel during our refit...
I told you about that.
Every night when I phoned her, you were with her. When she said how she missed me, you were lying beside her. Every night. When you met me at the station, you had both come from the flat. She told me everything.
Max, listen, when we return, you'll be transferred to another boat, your own commander. See to it.
I don't want another boat. I want this boat. And I'll take it from you. Just as you took Magda from me.
And I didn't...
Excuse me.
Chief!
Captain.
Chief, you were less than 2 meters from Mr. Strauss and myself during the attack. Did you hear Mr. Strauss express doubts to me about the ship's identity? It was after we'd fired the torpedoes. Now, please, think carefully.
No, sir, I wasn't listening.
You were standing at the trim panel. You must have heard us.
No, sir, I'm sorry, but I had my hands full with retrimming the boat. Is it important, sir?
No, it doesn't matter. Mr. Mallin.
Sir?
Have the girl over there taken back to the lifeboat and bring the captain of the Thomas Edison aboard. His name is Walt Dias.
There were 4 men in the engine room. I could hear them, but there was nothing I could do. How many in the lifeboat? I didn't have a chance to count.
26, including the 2 women.
Well, I guess that's something.
I'm sorry about what happened.
Yeah. Not that I can blame you. I should blame myself for not keeping an eye on that damn fool Spanish crew I signed on in Monte.
I don't understand.
Sure you do. The Edison wasn't flying her flag. Those clowns had hauled it down for some fool birthday party. I figured you'd stop shooting if I broke it out.
So you admit that your ship wasn't flying its national flag?
Well, sure I do. It's the truth.
Captain Dias, would you sign a statement saying that your ship was unmarked when I torpedoed her?
Now, that just depends, fella.
On what?
On what you intend doing with us.
Well, I shall see that your lifeboat has plenty of food and water, blankets, covers...
No, sorry, fella. No statement. Not if you leave us.
But it's all I can do. I can't take 26 people on board a submarine.
Do you know these waters? I guess not. Do you know what'll happen if we're abandoned? The Brazil current will carry the lifeboat clear down into the Southern Ocean. If our distress call was as weak as you say, then we stand as much chance of surviving as a bottle of bourbon and a speakeasy. I'll write you a statement, fella, after the people in the lifeboat are safe.
Captain Dias, if I agree, will you promise to say nothing about the statement to my crew?
It's that important to you, huh? Yeah, well, the way I see it, you're in a hell of a lot of trouble without it. Okay, Captain, if that's how you want it, I promise.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, I will tell you what we will do. Captain Dias, you must move your crew forward. We must clear the control room.
Right, Captain. Okay, amigos.
Young man, I demand to know where you will be taking
us. Please, Miss Stone, Mr. Mallin will show you where you and Jenny will be sleeping. I will explain everything as soon as I can. Now, please...
Captain, may I speak with you, please?
Off watch, Mr. Strauss.
I was woken by that rabble. You can't be serious.
Chief, clutches in. Start engines. Half ahead, both. Course 030.
Starting engines, sir. Half ahead, both. Course 030.
Why not, Mr. Strauss?
We're over 5,000 miles from France. We have just enough food and water for 40 men, not 66.
I'm not taking them all the way to France. They have radioed our situation to Flotilla HQ, and they've arranged a mid-Atlantic rendezvous for us with a surface raider, the Atlantis. We'll take on fresh supplies and fuel oil and transfer the survivors before continuing to La Rochelle. With luck, we'll be home for Christmas.
And what about the Southern Pearl, the whole point of our being here? Are you proposing to abandon our mission?
The agent in Rio made a mistake. She sailed several days ago.
Supposing we have to crash die with all these people on board.
Mr. Strauss will deal with each problem as it arises. In the meantime, I would be grateful if you would kindly work out a revised food and water ration. We rendezvous with Atlantis in 10 days in Grid Square AH4970.
I refuse to get undressed. How do I know one of them won't look over the blanket?
They're all right. Behave themselves better than those Spaniards in the next compartment.
Before I fixed up the blanket, they were leering at me. Jerry's. Fancy putting us in the torpedo.
Well, at least we've got a bit of privacy and a bunk each. It's better than having to sleep on the floor like everyone else.
You're getting cheeky, child. You realize it was through those round doors that they fired their torpedoes at us? Have you thought about that?
Really? I thought they was bread ovens.
Killing Mr. Wentworth and Mr...
Yes, I have thought about it. I haven't thought about much else.
I wonder what they're going to do with us. Rapers, I shouldn't wonder. Germans are no better than Turks.
Something for you to look forward to. Now, why don't you get undressed and go to sleep?
But there's no call for rudeness, young woman. You don't know what animals they can be.
And you do?
There were stories in the papers about what the Turks did that made my blood run cold. Oh. Now, where do you think you're going? Ginny, I forbid you to leave me.
Look, Miss Stone, I'm over 21 and my typewriter is at the bottom of the sea. I'm going to ask the captain what's going to happen to us, and there's nothing you can do to stop me.
Your parents asked me to keep an eye on you. I'm only thinking of your welfare.
Yes, I know you are, Miss Stone. I'm sorry I was rude. Come and rescue me if I'm not back in 10 minutes.
I hope you're adequately dressed under that skirt before you go stepping over those men.
And crew morale is exceptionally high despite our long wait off Rio, and now the difficult conditions in the boat...
Captain?
Yes, come in.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're busy.
No, just writing up my war diary. Here, come and sit down. I think there's just room for you.
Thanks. It's tiny in here. I thought you'd have a proper cabin.
Oh, this is a long-range U-boat. Luxury compared with the standard Atlantic boats. Well, how is everything with you and Miss Stone?
All right. What's going to happen to us after we're put on this ship we're meeting?
Your Captain Dias will no doubt return to America from France on an American ship. His crew will return to Spain.
They're both neutral countries. I mean, well, Miss Stone and me are English. What's going to happen to us?
Well, I'm sure the authorities will agree to allow the Red Cross to repatriate you home to England.
And what if they don't? We'll be prisoners of war, won't we?
In turn. It's not quite the same thing.
But we will be prisoners. I don't care what happens to me, but Miss Stone is nearly 60.
She's a strong woman.
Her two brothers died on the Somme. She hates you. She hates all Germans and isn't afraid to speak her mind. She even tore up a picture of Hitler belonging to one of your torpedo men.
Yes, I heard.
So how long would she last if she was interned? I mean, sometimes I could cheerfully kill her for some of the things she says.
It is a problem. Look, this is what I will do. If we sight a neutral ship before we meet the supply ship, I will put you and Miss Stone aboard. But I cannot make a promise, you understand?
That's his pistol, Chief.
That's 60, Chief. Pull ahead, boss.
Men went open, planes to die.
Captain Dias! Captain Dias!
Okay, what the hell's happening?
Tell the men to keep still. The chief can't fit the boat if they keep rushing about.
Stop diesels, closing course lights. Clutches out. Group up and start motors. Maximum revs. Meters.
What happened, Captain?
Jenny, don't enter the control room.
30 meters. No hydrophone effects.
Any damage reports, Chief?
None, sir. 40 meters.
So who or what resented having to share the Atlantic with us, Mr. Strauss?
We didn't see, Captain.
Really?
Such uncomfortably accurate shooting, they must have crept up to within a mile of us.
The conditions on the bridge were impossible. Visibility was less than a mile. We didn't see gun flashes or hear the firing.
Those were six-inch shells, Mr. Strauss, maybe larger.
Yes.
Which means that it could have been a cruiser firing on us. Perhaps you can explain how they managed to spot a conning tower at night, and yet we failed to spot a capital warship such as a cruiser.
50 meters.
I don't know, Captain.
I do. You or one of your lookouts was careless. Someone showed a light.
We heard nothing until those shells started falling around us. The cruiser must have been miles away. No one showed a light, and even if we had the navigation light and the searchlight on, we would not have been seen under those conditions.
Damn it, there's no other explanation. Your carelessness nearly cost this boat.
60 meters and trimmed off, sir. No hydrophone effects. Looks like they've lost interest in us.
Thank you, Chief. We'll stay in the cellar until dawn.
Sir, if you could tell Captain Dias to stop his men moving about, I'm still having trouble keeping the boat trimmed.
It's your disregard of orders by having survivors aboard that's endangering the safety of this boat, Captain.
Two periscopes? Why two?
One for searching the sky and one for searching the sea.
What's that wire twisted round them for?
Ah, that's one of the great secrets of the U-boat arm.
Go on with you.
It's to stop a telltale wash forming round the periscopes when we're running at periscope depth.
Now I know your secrets, you won't be able to hand us over to a neutral ship.
It's an idea we copied from British submarines.
There's not much hope of us coming across a neutral ship, is there? Not after 10 days.
Very little. We are now in a lonely part of the mid-Atlantic, a long way from the nearest trade route.
Can you tell us yet when we'll be meeting your supply ship?
In, 7 hours. Tonight you'll have a bath, a four-course meal, and sleep between clean sheets.
It's the bath I long for.
A word with you in the control room, please.
What is wrong with the voice pipe? Very well, Mr. Mallon. When did we receive this?
5 minutes ago, sir. I'm waiting for her to give more information.
Ship 15, Atlantis, to U395, being shelled by unseen ship, grid square FC4386. Unseen ship? What does that mean? Are you sure you transcribed the code group correctly?
I double-checked.
They can't have got the Atlantis.
The same ship that shelled us last week?
Well, how could it have been? How could the same ship have known about the positions of two ships over 1,000 miles apart? Don't go taking bets, Mr. Mallet.
I only take bets on the fate of enemy ships, sir.
It just doesn't make sense. The Atlantis stays away from convoy and trade routes. The British have no aircraft that can operate this far out into the Atlantic, so how did they find her?
That looks like it was once a desk or a table, Captain.
Do you want any more records brought on deck, sir?
Have that drawer broken open, Mr. Mallon.
Sir, all right.
How can all this wreckage be from one ship? It stretches as far as the eye can see.
Well, the Atlantis was a large ship.
About time we started seeing German wreckage.
A stone.
It's a sight to gladden the eye. We won't win this war by being sentimental. If you ask me, sinking U-boat supply ships is a sight more important than sinking U-boats. I wonder how many U-boats won't be able to make it back to their bases now, Captain Ensign.
If it's any comfort, Miss Stone, this U-boat might be among them.
It's a great comfort, Captain.
Hey, maybe you folks ought to suspend your war until we've solved our immediate problems. Do you have enough fuel and water to get us to France, Captain?
Captain Ensign!
Yes?
The desk belonged to the purser. We found these papers. It was the Atlantis.
Kilos of tinned ham, 100 kilos of tinned carrots, 50 kilos of dried eggs, 35 kilos of tinned sausages.
What is the point, Mr. Strauss, if we have only 4 tons of diesel oil?
We get rid of the survivors.
Damn it, what difference will that make? We don't have enough fuel to take us 500 miles, let alone 3,500, whether we have 40 mouths to feed or 60.
Our fresh water.
I am not interested in our fresh water. I need diesel oil. 4 tons left out of 400 tons. For God's sake, stop hovering out there, Mr. Mallon. What is it?
It's a signal from BDU, sir, in reply to our signal at 1330. We're to proceed to grid square AC2773 to rendezvous with the auxiliary supply ship, the Python. BD, you are waiting for us to give our estimated time of arrival.
Let me see. Supply ship Python now proceeding with all haste to meet you, grid square AC-2773.
AC-2773.
She will be unable to reach rendezvous position before midnight, November 30. Confirm time that you will be able to keep rendezvous.
Grid square AC-2773 is 600 miles northeast of our present position.
Now, today is November 22, which gives us 8 clear days for a rendezvous on December 1, which means we can creep towards the Python at around 3 knots. Tell the chief I wish to see him, Mr. Malin.
Yes, sir.
If we shut down one engine...
Let's hear what our chief engineer has to say, shall we, Mr. Strauss?
Sir.
Come in, chief. Problem for you. How far can we cruise on our remaining fuel if we reduce speed to the absolute minimum?
Oh, 400 miles, if this weather holds, sir.
That's a prompt answer.
Well, Mr. Malin primed me a few minutes ago, sir. We have a little bet.
Really? How far do you think we can go, Mr. Mallon?
450 miles, sir, if we run on one diesel.
Chief, you agree with that?
Well, yes, sir. One diesel at not more than 1,500 RPM, about 3 knots.
We've got to steam 600 miles if we're to survive this patrol damage.
We could run 60 miles on the electric motor, sir.
And find ourselves with flat batteries and no power to dive if we meet up with that British cruiser.
I think that was a 1,000,000-to-1 chance.
And a 2,000,000-to-1 chance that it should meet us and the Atlantis.
We don't know it was the same warship.
If I might make a suggestion...
Mr. Strauss here thinks he can save the day by ditching our survivors.
How much light lubricating oil do we have, Chief?
Just under a ton, sir.
Well, couldn't we use that as fuel oil? The stuff burns, does it not?
Really, Mr. Strauss?
Of course it burns, but nothing like as readily as proper diesel oil.
But it does burn. Well, supposing we mixed it with our existing fuel.
Well, Chief,
I suppose there's no reason why it shouldn't work, sir. I could keep the mixture lean and run the engine hot, but it won't do my engine much good.
Excellent, gentlemen. Then that's what we will do.
And we'd make a lot of exhaust smoke, sir.
But we would make progress, Chief. Back to control room, then. Your new course is 315 at 3 knots.
315 degrees at 3 knots, sir.
Signal to BDU, please, Mr. Mallon. Tell them that we will rendezvous with the Python between 0600 hours and midday on the 1st of December.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for that suggestion, Mr. Strauss.
Not at all, sir. I have two excellent reasons for wanting U395 to return safely. Apart from my own safety, that is. Firstly, I'm anxious to stand as a witness at your court-martial. And secondly, as U-395 is to be my next command, naturally I'm eager to see that it reaches France in one piece.
For goodness sake, cover yourself up, child.
But I'm decent.
Not what I call decent. Those Germans on the conning tower are staring at you, not to mention these Spaniards.
But it's hot, Miss Stone.
You'd be a lot cooler if you put some clothes on. Don't you agree, Captain Dyas?
Well, it'll be winter soon enough. Might as well let her enjoy the sun while she can.
Oh, Captain Dyas, today is the first day of December, the beginning of the summer.
We crossed the equator over a week ago, sweetheart, the day we started creeping at 3 knots. We're now in the northern hemisphere. Although I'll grant you that winter might be a little slow in coming at this speed.
You mean because we're moving north so slowly?
That's right, honey. Say, have you ladies noticed something odd since we've been sitting here?
No. What?
I guess our captain is expecting to find something. He's doubled the number of lookouts over the past hour. There's now 8 guys on the conning tower with binoculars.
Oh, yes. Well, maybe it's another supply ship.
No, I doubt it. Germany hasn't got that many ships.
I asked the captain if we were going to meet up with another ship, but he wouldn't say.
I've told you not to talk to him, Jenny.
Why not? He's okay.
He most certainly is not okay. Oh, I do wish you wouldn't use those vulgar Americanisms. No disrespect, Captain Dyas.
Okay.
For all his charm, Jenny, Captain Emsman is a German, our enemy. You do well to remember that. You were with me when Mr. Fortescue, at our embassy in Montevideo, told us what the U-boats were doing to our shipping. Now, you remember?
Look, what's the point? Right now, we're all in the same boat.
Oh, please don't try to be funny.
What are the lookouts pointing at? Hey, it looks like a ship. Well, it's a long way off, but that's smoke right enough.
Goodbye, U-395, if it's a neutral ship.
Jenny, now, please go below and bring me a drink of water.
I never manage a cup on them ladders.
Those ladders. We'll use a bottle, you silly child, and hurry. Oh, yeah, really. Captain Dyas, We may not have enough time, but I want you to help me.
Anything, sweetheart.
How would you set about sabotaging this submarine?
Me? You're crazy.
This boat sank your ship?
Sure.
Well, surely you want to do something about it?
Not while I'm on it.
I didn't think you were a coward, Captain.
I love you too, sweetheart.
Very well, then. If you won't help me, I shall have to think of something for myself.
We've made radio contact with the ship. It's going to take us off.
Now, pull yourself together, child. What nationality is it?
It's called a python, and it's German.
Captain Hemsman, welcome aboard the Python.
Captain Block, you can't begin to guess just how pleased I am to see you. We were down to our last egg cup full of diesel oil.
My men are connecting up the refueling lines now.
I need torpedoes, ammunition, food, fresh water.
And a bath and a shave, my friend.
Oh, is it so bad?
With U-boat men, it is always bad. Those that live like swine for the Fuhrer can't be blamed if they end up smelling like them, eh?
But first I must see to my men.
But first, nothing, my friend. My stewards will look after them and your survivors once they're all aboard.
White-coated stewards? My God, I don't believe it. We used to think that the stories about the Python were propaganda, a ghost ship to bolster the morale of U-boat men.
Well, there's nothing ghostly about the bottle of Napoleon brandy in my cabin. Come, we have much to talk about. So, if this American, Captain Dias, is prepared to write a statement saying that his ship wasn't flying the stars and stripes, you have nothing to fear. You are within your rights to torpedo his ship. After lunch, he will write his statement in my presence. The survivors are now safe. He has no reason to refuse.
It will be a load off my mind.
Oh, my friend, everyone has a Strauss walking in their shadow. It's best to ignore them and their petty vendettas. Some more brandy?
Yes. His vendetta isn't so petty. Damned Austrian.
What was the Southern Pearl's cargo? Oh, come now. The Admiral doesn't send U-boats to Rio to sink one specific ship without good reason.
Oh, well, I suppose it's too late now. The Southern Pearl was carrying a ton of the finest quality Brazilian quartz crystal. The British are using it to make the crystal oscillators in their Aztec sets. That's why I was told that it was imperative to sink her at all costs.
Quartz is even more important in the manufacture of radar than submarine detection equipment, my friend. There's a rumor going around at Wilhelmshaven that British radar is several years ahead of our radio-ranging equipment.
There was the same rumor at La Rochelle.
It may be true.
You think that was why the British were able to attack me at night and sink the Atlantis?
It's my belief that the British have broken our codes.
But that's not possible. There are nearly 10,000 code groups.
Oh, listen, my friend. Two U-boats were being refueled at night in Tarafo Bay in the Cape Verde Islands when a submarine fired a fan of torpedoes at them. Do you know Tarafo Bay? It's deserted. There's nothing there. Last week it was the Atlantis, and before that you. All in remote areas. Even the most advanced radar in the world cannot catapult British warships all over the Atlantic so that they're always in the right place at the right time. The only thing that makes sense is that they've broken our codes.
You should tell the OKM of your suspicions, Captain Bloch.
You think those conceited oafs in Berlin will listen to me? They say our codes cannot be broken. The British have many ships, they say. The chances of them stumbling across us are good. Fools. They don't even understand how vast the Atlantic is. When I look at my charts, I see 32 million square miles of ocean. And that, my friend, is when I stop believing in coincidences. God! Come on, my friend, before they find our range!
Immediately!
Okay.
The Senate's broken, looking after them.
Well, let's go help
them. No, no, don't
Where's the girl? Jenny, this way!
Oh, Mr. We can't go without a police car. We must find her, please.
Do stop making such a fuss, child. I'm
here. Will you get down that scrambling net? Otherwise, I'll throw you down.
All those men leering up there.
No one is near.
Come on, Mr. Snowy.
I've cut all the mooring lines. It's just a net holding us now.
There's only us left. Come on before this ship goes down under us.
All hatches clipped and secured.
Down 60, Chief. Full ahead bolt.
Main vents open. Planes to dive.
Close.
Stop diesels, close exhaust vents, clutches out. Group up and start motors, maximum revs.
Take her down to 20 meters, Chief. Miss Mallon.
The last I saw of him, he was helping to swing out one of the Python's lifeboats.
Clench the rise, blow all tanks.
What the hell are you playing at, Chief?
We can't dive, sir. The exhaust vents haven't closed. Warning light's still at red.
God damn it, we've got to dive unless you want us blown to bits. Is there something wrong with the lights?
Something jamming the handwheel, sir. We'll flood the boat if we try to take her down.
Very well, Chief. Start engines. Full ahead boat. Zigzag course.
Stop motors, clutches in. Start engine.
Cut periscope. We'll have to abandon ship, Strauss.
Zigzagging, sir.
It's virtually on top of us. A heavy cruiser range 3 miles. Python's a place from end to end. Go on. Damn it, what an unholy mess.
As we try torpedo, bar 3's loaded and flooded up.
I'll be watching like hawks from cracks, and that destroyer's the Dorset ship. Turn on her own axis. Muster the gun crew and add. No, wait. Chief, bring her around to 022. No, correction, 027. My God, she's.
Call 027, sir.
029, Chief. And run the electrics as well. I want every nut you can pile on. Take a look, Mr. Strauss. Let's hope we never see a British heavy cruiser this close again.
Electric motors running.
You're crazy. We're heading straight at it.
Chief, every knot override the speed governors.
Chief, hard to port.
Hold your course, Chief.
I am not leaving this boat and crew in the hands of an incompetent glory seeker. Chief, you will stay hard to port and zigzag.
Take a look through the periscope, Mr. Strauss.
I have a clear duty to cancel your order.
Take a look. What do you see, Mr. Strauss?
She's running.
She's sheared away, and she's running. There are times when behaving like a cornered rat can unnerve the most ferocious cat. Off ahead, Chief. Steer 185. You'd better see to the Python's lifeboats. She won't last long.
Farewell, my Python. You must go, my friend, before that gray lady realizes how foolish she's been and returns. Each lifeboat is well stocked with food and water. We'll be all right, but you must save your U-boat.
Have you seen my second watch officer?
Young Marlin. He's in lifeboat 3. He stayed to help. Take him quickly and go.
Mr. Strauss. Take the inflatable and round up all the lifeboats. You're going to tow them in line astern.
What?
You'll find Mallon in one of them.
You are planning to tow 6 lifeboats,
no
Captain?
No arguments, Mr. Strauss. Just do as I damn well say.
Oh, he's right. It's absurd. We're 2,500 miles from France.
How many in each boat?
Well, about 40. Well, you must get away from this area. I beg you, my friend.
Mr. Strauss, this is what I want you to do. Round up every promising piece of wreckage. Oil drums, crates of food, and load up one of the lifeboats to the gunwales if necessary. We can sort it out later. The important thing is to lay our hands on as much food and fuel as possible and then get moving. Once we're underway, we'll hold a planning conference in my wardroom.
And 60 tons of fuel oil had been pumped into our tanks when the line was cut.
So, we're okay for food and oil. Fresh water. Well, Chief?
10 tons, sir.
What?
I'm sorry, sir, but we didn't have enough time to fill our tanks. We'd emptied one of the Python's tanks and were about to connect up to another one when those shells started falling around us.
There's a half ton in each lifeboat with an officer in command of each boat. I've told him to issue no water until our exact situation is known.
So we have only 13 tons of fresh water for 300 people. It's going to take us at least 2 weeks to reach France, allowing for weather and other setbacks, which means we can't afford to consume more than 1 ton of water per day. That's 3 liters per day per person.
Just about enough, sir.
just about, Chief.
If I may speak freely, Captain, it's sheer lunacy to even consider attempting to tow 6 fully loaded lifeboats 2,500 miles.
Your first officer is right, my friend. You should leave us and concentrate on getting your U-boat back to France. Germany needs all the U-boats.
It's easier to replace a U-boat than 300 sailors, Captain.
But then why not radio for help?
No. Under no circumstances do we touch our wireless. If the British have broken our codes, we'd be inviting a rescue ship to share the fate of the Atlantis and the Python.
What chance do 240 men have of surviving 2 weeks in open boats in winter?
A better chance than if we were to abandon them, Mr. Strauss. My mind is made up. Operation Signet goes ahead. We tow the lifeboats to France. War Diary U-395, December 2, 1941. We have named the lifeboats Signet 1, Signet 2, and so on, and transferred Captain Dias's Spanish crew to one of them. The first 3 hours of Operation Signet have been spent experimenting with the best way of towing the lifeboats. 4 knots is the maximum speed we can manage without the danger of boats being swamped. Yes, Mr. Marlin.
We found out why you couldn't dive when HMS Dorsetshire attacked, sir. Torpedo Mechanica Hankin discovered this jammed under the exhaust vent hood by the bridge.
My God. Deliberately.
Yes, sir. It had been pushed right under the hood. That's why it wasn't found the first time.
Have you looked inside?
Oh, no, sir. But it could not have gone under the hood by accident. I put my hand under the hood to feel it before Hankin prized it out. It was doubled in half. You can see the scratches in the leather.
Bring them both to the wardroom.
Let me go. I haven't done nothing.
Hush your noise, child.
You'll both sit down.
All right. There's no call to go shoving.
These are our 2 English women from the Thomas Edison, Captain Bloch.
What's he doing here?
Captain Bloch has agreed to act in your defense if it should prove necessary.
So you found it.
You admit that this is your handbag, Miss Stone?
Of course. There's a ventilator. An air intake thing behind the conning tower. I pushed it into that before we were taken aboard the Python.
You told me you'd lost it overboard.
If I may ask a question, Captain?
Yes.
Miss Stone, you thought it would be a safe place to put your handbag, yes? It's understandable that a woman should be concerned about such things. My own wife...
No, I emptied it first. I jammed it in there because I hoped... prayed that it would cause trouble.
She's lying. She dropped it. I saw her drop it. It must have got swept into the intake by a wave or something.
Stay out of this, please, Jenny. She knows nothing of this.
What sort of trouble did you hope to cause?
Any sort of trouble, provided you and all your vermin perished.
Your handbag prevented the exhaust vents from closing when we dived. Had the chief engineer not noticed something was wrong, the boat would have flooded and taken us all to the bottom.
Better than I expected. A pity it didn't work. I'll plead guilty to sabotage, if that's what you want.
It's not only sabotage, Miss Stone. It's also the attempted murder of everyone on this boat.
I'll plead guilty to that, too. I don't give a damn what you do to me.
Or what happens to this one?
You leave her out of this. It was nothing to do with her.
And yet, had your plan worked, she would have perished along with us. Vermin. I find your standards of loyalty curious, Miss Stone. Well, as you have pleaded guilty, I have no alternative but to pass sentence. Sabotage or attempted sabotage of Kriegsmarine equipment in wartime carries an automatic death sentence by firing squad. Murder or attempted murder also carries an automatic death sentence. You are under arrest until we reach France, Miss Stone. Take them away.
Yes, sir. This way, ladies.
Stone.
Very good, my friend. Listening to you, it sounded as though you were accustomed to handing out death sentences every day.
Damn woman. And this book gives me no choice.
That damned book, my friend, also gives you the power to have the execution carried out at sea, where the continued existence of the prisoner is likely to endanger the boat.
Would you do it?
I wouldn't hesitate. You have 300 lives to consider, and we're 2,500 miles from the nearest friendly port. Out here, you are prosecutor, judge, jury, and hangman.
War diary, U-395, December 6, 1941. Day 5 of Operation Signet. The practice dive went well. We managed to slip the tow lines and dive to 60 meters in 80 seconds. On our return to the surface, it took less than 30 minutes to recover the boats and resume the tow. The spirits of the 240 men in the lifeboats are remarkably high, despite the inadequate food and the cold, miserable conditions they are having to endure. Distance made good today, 180 miles. 20 miles less than yesterday. The drag from the 6 lifeboats is proving to be more than we anticipate, with the result that we are burning a little over 4 tons of fuel per day. Nearly half our fuel has gone, and we are still 1,300 miles from France. But our biggest worry is the deteriorating weather.
I'm sorry, Captain. I would not have dragged you on the bridge unless it was urgent.
I know that, damn it, man. God, what a night.
We've lost Signet 4.
What?
I flashed her 5 times. The others all answered, but not 4, so I had their tow lines checked. She's gone.
So far, we've used 6 tons of fuel on the search, sir.
6 tons of oil and nearly a day wasted, plus a day's food and water.
You really think that looking for 40 men was a waste while there was a chance of finding them?
There is no chance now.
Oh, thank you, Chief. Leave us, please.
Sir, tell me, Strauss, would you have done differently if you had been in Captain Emsman's position? Would you have continued on course and done nothing?
I am not in Captain Emsman's position. What I would have or would not have done is immaterial.
I'm curious. You don't have to answer.
I would have searched for 12 hours, not a minute longer.
Once you're right, Strauss.
Pardon, Captain?
You're right, Strauss. Absolutely right. And yet, if such a thing were to happen again, I'd do exactly the same thing again. I would spend, or waste, as you prefer to call it, 24 hours searching for survivors. That is why I intend making it my personal duty to ensure that neither this nor any other U-boat and the lives of a crew is ever entrusted to you. You may tell the chief to resume our homeward course.
A word with you a moment, Mr. Mallon.
What is it, Chief?
Would you taste this, please?
I never drink water by itself, Chief. It erodes the old gambling instincts.
Well, I just want you to taste it, sir, and tell me what you think.
Vintage 1941 Atlantic from the northern end of the ocean.
It's from Freshwater Tank 3, sir.
The hell you say?
Well, tank 2 will be empty tomorrow, so I switched over to 3 and checked it as I always do.
Oh, but this stuff is seawater.
Well, I thought it was about 25% seawater, sir. Tank 3 was being filled from the Python when we had to crash dive. Whoever was doing it forgot to tighten the deck skin fitting properly.
It was understandable with 6-inch shells dropping all around us. Do you think the entire tank is contaminated?
Well, it's well baffled, but after that gale, my guess is that it must be pretty well churned up.
Have you told anyone else?
No, sir. There's a faint chance that the seawater and freshwater hasn't mixed. I'm going to draw off a sample from the top of the tank.
Very good, Chief. How much water does number 3 hold?
5 tons, sir. Half the original load we took on from the Python. And all the fresh water we have left.
Now listen, honey. I don't give a damn what Emsman says. I'm telling you that no harm will come to Miss Stone.
He sentenced her to death.
Yeah, keep your voice down. That's just eyewash.
You should have been there, Captain Dias. No, as I see it, I've nothing to lose.
Yeah, well, what about me and Jenny? Have you asked her if she wants to end up on the bottom in this thing?
It will be during the exercise period. You and Jenny, Captain Dias, will be on deck. You'll be able to swim to the nearest lifeboat and cut the tow line so that the U-boat doesn't take the lifeboat down with it. Oh. It's all a matter of careful timing.
Do you see that guy on the end bunk? He's watching you, right? You're being watched 24 hours around the clock, Miss Stone. You haven't a hope in hell of tampering with one of those torpedo tube doors for 1 second, let alone a minute.
There's a young mechanic who guards us from 10 until 2 each day. He went bright pink the first time we washed in front of him, and now he always turns his back when asked.
Especially when I have to use the bucket. It's as embarrassing for him as it is for me.
He was the one who showed us how the doors worked when I played up to him.
No, there's nothing to it. All I need is a minute.
Look. I did a deal with Emsman right after he torpedoed my ship. Your safety in exchange for my testimony that I wasn't flying the Stars and Stripes. And that's why I say that all this talk about sentencing you to death is hogwash. Without my testimony, he's in real trouble for sinking a neutral ship.
Never will I ever be a part of a deal with the Huns. Never. And when I die, I will take this U-boat with me and as many of its crew as possible.
War Diary, U-395, December 11, 1941. Day 10 of Operation Signet. We are now 800 miles from Brest, and our water situation is desperate. The condensers the chief engineer has rigged up in the engine room are producing 20 liters per day. This, together with the small quantities in the lifeboat tanks, means that I have had to impose a strict ration of 0.25 liter per person per day. Only just enough to keep one alive. We pray for rain. We have cans, mugs, sheets, everything that can hold water spread out in readiness. The sky is continuously overcast, and yet it does not rain. This morning we saw a Sunderland before it saw us, and we were forced to slip the tow lines and dive. My great fear is that we will be sighted by one of our own aircraft who will then radio our position for a ship to come to our rescue. I have a premonition that the British are not far away. They don't know where we are, but they are waiting and listening.
Captain! Sir!
Yes?
I've just picked up a signal from BDU to all U-boats.
No need to broadcast it all over the boat, show me. As from 14:30 today, Berlin time, Germany is not... My God, Mr. Mallon, it's finally happened.
You owe me 10 marks, sir.
What?
You had a small wager with me that it wouldn't happen before Christmas.
Well, for once, I shall be happy to pay up.
Boat torpedo room alarm.
Cut that alarm, someone. What's going on here? Where's all this water come from?
Why is the water stopped? Why?
The Tube 3's flood valve is open, sir.
Trouble down here as well?
Miss Stone, those levers. Have you moved them?
Why is the water stopped?
Did you move those levers?
Yes.
Why?
Because I wanted to flood this boat. The water came out in a great whoosh. I thought I'd won. And then the water stopped. But why?
She planned it with the American and the girl. As soon as the alarm went off, they dived into the sea and swam for the nearest lifeboat.
I did it on the spur of the moment. They knew nothing about it.
Get this mess cleared up. Mr. Strauss, I want an armed guard on this woman, 2 men from each watch. She's to be kept under continuous surveillance at all times. Bring her to the wardroom.
I wanted to flood the entire boat.
You wanted everyone to drown.
I waited until Captain Dias and Jenny were being exercised on deck. They would have escaped.
Who showed you how to operate those valves?
I used my eyes. Every day when the boat was trimmed so that it was nose heavy, your men would withdraw a torpedo from a tube to look at its motor.
Mr. Mallon, Miss Stone was allowed to remain in the torpedo room during the daily checks.
You said she was to be confined to the torpedo room all the time, sir. Mm.
Why did the water stop flooding into the boat?
Each torpedo tube has an outer door on the hull, which is opened only when a torpedo is to be fired. The water that entered the boat was merely the contents of a closed torpedo tube. Which brings me to the question of a conspiracy between you and the other two. Ask Mr. Strauss to show them in,
sir.
They knew nothing about it. What I was planning, I mean, nothing. You haven't a scrap of evidence against them unless you invent it, which I wouldn't put past.
Please be quiet, Miss Stone. Captain Dias,
Yeah?
Why did you and Jenny jump into the water when you heard the alarm?
A natural reaction. The noise that alarm was making, anyone would think the boat was about to blow up or something.
Miss Stone, I will conduct this investigation in your absence if you don't remain silent. Captain Dias?
Like the lady says, it was a natural reaction. We could hear the alarm plain enough up on deck.
Jenny?
Well, it was a natural reaction.
Mr. Strauss here has reasons for thinking otherwise.
As soon as the alarm sounded from below, Captain Dias yelled, "This is it, honey." He grabbed the girl's hand and they both jumped into the sea and started swimming towards the nearest lifeboat.
This is it, honey. It being something you're expecting? Something that had been planned in advance by all three of you?
They're your conclusions you're jumping to, fella.
Ah, you're the one that's been doing all the jumping, Captain Dias.
Sure I yelled, "This is it." So what? It doesn't prove anything.
Let us see what the concise Oxford English Dictionary has to say about the word it, shall we? Isthmus, isle, it. A long entry for such a short word. It must be a significant word. Yes, indeed. There are several meanings. Do you know what the first and therefore the most important meaning this book gives? It, the thing in question. Fourth meaning. In anticipation. Yeah, you stand condemned by your own words.
Hey, now, let's just hold on here a minute. Are you trying to hang this one on us just because of the definitions in that dictionary?
I should have thought that was obvious. You speak English. This is the Oxford English Dictionary, the most authoritative...
I'm nuts. For one thing, I don't pretend to speak according to a dictionary. And for another, we don't use the Oxford English Dictionary in America. We use Webster's. Now, you're not going to pull out a copy of Webster's out of that pretty brass-bound cap of yours, are you, Captain Emsman?
This transcript is accurate.
Malin took everything down word for word. I've made a few corrections. His English isn't as good as mine.
And I have countersigned it as being a true and accurate record.
In which case, the evidence against the American and the girl is insufficient. Can't convict them. But it was a good try, my friend. The case against the resourceful Miss Stone is conclusive, of course, in view of her previous sabotage attempt. You have no choice.
I can't do it. Damn it, you don't have to take the decision.
Which means that I can afford to be objective.
I can't do it. Look, I have got two men watching her all the time.
How long before we reach Brest?
If we reach Brest...
10 days for this weather.
If the engines hold out, the chief's having to run them hot to provide boiling water for the fresh water condensers. He's worried about the port diesel as it is. If that packs up, then our fresh water production is halved.
Is this so?
Yes.
Then clearly you have no choice, my friend. Can you be 100% certain that the men watching the English woman will be as vigilant in 6 days, or 7 days, 8 days? That they will not tire or allow their attention to wander for a crucial moment? You cannot make such a guarantee, but you can guarantee that that Englishwoman will be watching and waiting for the first opportunity. She's done it twice. The English have a saying, third time lucky.
Yes, I know. Look, perhaps if I put her in one of the lifeboats...
She would probably cut the tow line in the darkness.
He's right, my friend. We would waste precious hours and fuel searching for the lifeboat.
Do you want me to have to take such a decision?
The lives of nearly 300 people and the precarious safety of this U-boat depend on you. It's all here in the manual. The safety of the boat comes before all other considerations. You have absolute power. Even if the authorities review the case, which I doubt, with the overwhelming evidence, they would have no alternative but to uphold your decision.
If I take it.
You have rifles on board.
One ancient Gewehr 98 Mauser.
One is sufficient.
Oh, surely there has to be more than one.
Try the index.
No, I found it. Yes, it covers everything. Distance to be not less than 10 paces. Rifle caliber to be not less than 6 millimeters. Number of rifles to be not more than 10, not less than 4.
Ah, Will, that's that.
Unless extenuating circumstances dictate otherwise.
I suspect that having only one rifle is about as an extenuating circumstance as you're ever likely to get, my friend.
How is the squad, or man in this case, supposed to be selected?
By volunteer. If no volunteers are forthcoming, then the firing squad must be selected by lot.
Very well, Mr. Strauss. You can make it your immediate task to move quietly among the crew and to seek out a volunteer. Report to me as soon as you find one. I'll be in the engine room with the chief, looking at that damned port diesel.
I've shut down the starboard engine, sir, so you can hear for yourself. Oil pressure's just about nil. The main bearings have gone, judging by the amount of white metal we've cleaned out as a filter.
How much longer can you keep it going?
I don't know, sir. Half a day, half an hour.
Damn it, man, if we lose this engine, we've lost half our fresh water supply from the condenser.
Just listen to it. I don't think I'll be able to give it another 5 minutes.
It must have heard you, Chief. You'll have to fix it.
We can't, sir.
You damn well will if I say so.
It would be a major job stripping this engine right down to the crankshaft, and pointless because we haven't got a spare set of shell bearing, sir.
Then you will have to make them, Chief. I don't want arguments. I want action. Now. You'd better get the starboard engine started. Come in, Mr. Mallon.
Mr. Strauss's compliments, sir. He hasn't been able to find a volunteer. He's even tried the men in the lifeboats.
In that case, the selection will have to be made by lot.
How will you do it, sir?
I shall write the name of every member of the crew on a slip of paper and put them in a cap.
Officers as well.
Everyone, including myself.
Sir, if I could ask...
I haven't got all day to listen to your problems, Mr. Mallon.
I did my basic training at Kiel, sir. The commanding officer said I was the worst shot ever to have passed through the training school. I could never even hit the target. It's on my record, sir, so if you would...
Leave your name out.
Please,
out
sir.
Of the question, Mr. Mallon.
But...
No, but, Mr. Mallon, I am not making exceptions for you or anyone. Even my name goes into the camp. Now, I have a number of reports to write. Mallon, Vernon, Midshipman. Report by commanding officer, initial training school, Kiel, 1937. Conclusions. Apart from his shooting ability, which can only be described as abominable, Midshipman Mallon's conduct and application has been exemplary. His posting to the U-boat service is recommended.
And a man died in Cygnet 2 during the night, sir. Captain Block thinks the cause of death was dehydration.
Thank you, Mr. Strauss. Engine room?
The chief reports that he now has the port diesel stripped down.
Captain Ebsman, my bosun and Cygnet 3 reports that another man has been found dead.
I'm very sorry, Captain Block.
The men in the lifeboats are suffering from dehydration more than the men in the U-boat. 100 cc of water per day is less than a cupful. It's not enough. I understand the problem, but we must increase their ration and reduce the ration of your men.
I'm sorry, Captain. 100 cc per day is the ration for everyone. There can be no exceptions.
Then you must radio Brest for help.
No.
In 2 days, those men will be dying like flies.
I will not risk a minesweeper sharing the fate of the Atlantis and the Python. Considering your concern to ensure my familiarity with my duty, I'm surprised you don't share my views. One final task before you go off watch, Max. Pick one slip of paper from this cap, please. Unfold it. What does it say?
Leutnant Sursay, Werner Mallon.
Jenny does not have to witness this, Captain Dias. You may take her below.
You tell her, fella.
I want to watch. I want to be an eyewitness, so I'll be able to give evidence against you after the war for murdering Miss Stone.
She's tied to the forward jumping wire support.
Why no blindfold?
She refused.
Mr. Mallon, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
This rolling is going to make it difficult for him to aim, my friend. We altered course 10
No, we there. Hold our course for Brest. Load. Aim. Fire.
Oh, my
sir. I can't aim properly with this rolling.
Reload. Aim. Fire. Oh.
Sir, I think you should bolt a course.
I'm sorry, I can't help it.
Reload. Aim. Fire.
Not a fourth time. It would be inhuman.
At ease, Mr. Mallon. You're right. It would be inhuman. I wanted to hear you say it. Untie her, Max, and bring her to me.
She's all right, honey. They've given up. Our deal's off, Captain.
So I guessed. But if you want to come through this alive, maybe you have an idea what to do with her.
Oh, incompetent bunglers. Oh, you can't even shoot straight. Take your hands off me.
Captain Bloch, I want you to distribute your men in Cygnet 3 into the other lifeboats.
Captain,
there will be no arguments. Stone, I'm putting you by yourself in Cygnet 3. You'll have a canvas shelter and just enough food and water to last you until we reach Brest. There'll be no contact with you until then.
You can't do that to her after what she's been through.
Oh, thank you, my child, but I'll fight my own battles. It will be a pleasure to be away from the stink of this U-boat. A long tow line, if you please, Captain.
That will be my pleasure, Miss Stone. War Diary, U-395, December 16, 1941. Day 15 of Operation Cygnet. We are now making less than 100 miles each day, and our struggling starboard engine is threatening to expire. The chief engineer has worked unceasingly to repair the port diesel, but to no avail. I am recommending that he receives the Knight's Cross. We are 300 miles from Brest, but three miserable days of appalling weather means that we have not seen a friendly or an enemy aircraft. And still, it does not rain. Lack of water and the intense cold has so weakened the men that it is necessary to tie them into the lifeboats. Those suffering seriously from exposure take it in turns to come aboard the boat. If the starboard diesel fails, it will be necessary for me to radio for help from anyone who hears.
There's nothing we can do for her, honey.
Maybe if I was to say something to the captain. 3 nights she's been in that lifeboat.
You think he'd listen? He ordered her execution, kid, in cold blood. You don't reason with men like that.
You know, that's what don't make any sense about him.
What doesn't?
Well, I don't know. I'm so thirsty, I can't think straight.
Have you ever read those stories about prospectors dreaming about tall, cold drinks? Well, last night I dreamt I was trying to climb the side of a glass of beer that was as tall as the Empire State Building.
Control room to engine room. What's happened, Chief? Why have we stopped?
What's going on?
It's not the diesel, sir. The starboard shaft is sea solid. We fouled our propeller magnificently. Four men can't shift it.
Blast those Breton fishermen and their damn nets. All right, Chief, see what you can do. We'll run on our port electric motor in the meantime.
It's risky if we're caught at daybreak on the surface with no power to dive, sir.
We'll worry about that at daybreak, Max. Grab a torch. I don't suppose we'll be able to see anything, but we might as well go on deck to take a look.
Well, you didn't expect to see anything, sir.
Here. Shine the torch over here. God damn it, look! Tow line for Cygnet 3 goes under the stern.
Our indefatigable Miss Stone.
She untied her tow line. 200 meters of rope round our propeller shaft. My God, I wish I'd strangled her with my bare hands. Listen. The aircraft. Kill that light.
Four engines. That's either a Sunderland or a Fokker Wolf nosing about.
With our luck, it'll be a Sunderland.
Let's hope it's a long way away by morning.
Those damned flying porcupines can stooge about for hours. They regard the Bay of Biscay as their private property. And they haunt the Brest approaches.
which means that we'd better come up with an idea for dealing with them before daybreak.
Good morning, Max. Ah, excellent. All the guns are manned. Do the men in the lifeboats understand what they have to do?
Yes, sir. They have all been thoroughly briefed.
I've completed the morning fix, Max. Less than 50 miles to go. Want to rise on our starboard quarter by midday and then into press before dark. The chief is confident that the batteries will hold out. So, refuse all offers of tows from well-meaning E-boats and minesweepers, Max. They're going right up to the U-boat piers on our own power.
Aircraft bearing 270.
The Sunderland. Bring those guns to bear. My God, she'll have the fright of her life when she realizes that everyone in the lifeboats is waving at her. Good luck, Max. Is everything ready, Mr. Mallet?
Yes, sir. The radio's warmed up and tuned to one of RAF Coastal Command's frequencies.
The headphones, quickly, man. U-boat to Sunderland flying boat. U-boat to Sunderland flying boat. Do you read? Over. U-boat to Sunderland flying boat. U-boat to Sunderland flying boat. Do you read me? Over.
You said they're still using this frequency.
Yes, sir. There you
yes, are. Sunderland flying boat. I read you loud and clear. Break off your attack, Sunderland. Break off your attack. The men in the lifeboats are British sailors from a torpedoed ship. I repeat, the men in the lifeboats are British sailors from a torpedoed ship. You will be killing your own men. Over. No, I fear I do not know the name of the ship, Sunderland. Your sailors will not say. Over.
They're not answering anymore.
Repeat. Over, Sunderland.
Bridge control room. The Sunderland has broken off the attack and is circling out of range. No casualties.
It worked, Mallet. By God, it worked.
Well done, sir.
I have not finished yet.
U-boat to Sunderland. I have important message for you. Over. Thank you, Sunderland. Lifeboat lost tow during night containing Englishwoman. Believed lifeboat will be approximately 50 miles due west our present position. Can you investigate and recover? Over. Thank you, Sunderland. Good luck. Over and out.
Bridge control room. Congratulations, sir. The Sunderland is now heading westward.
You know what, Mr. Mallet? I pray to God that they find her.
U-boat pens ahead, sir.
France, eh, Max? I hardly can believe we've made it.
I don't think our escort believed the message I flashed him.
Minesweeper skippers have no souls, Max. Otherwise, they'd give them U-boats.
You think we'll get a new boat, sir?
We?
Oui. I'd like to remain as your first watch officer, sir.
Even if I recommend you for your own command?
I'm not sure what to say.
Then it's best left unsaid. What? You know, Max, I do believe all this fuss is for us.
Sir. Port 10, Chief. Slow ahead.
Permission to come on the bridge, Captain?
Yes, of course, Captain Bloch. Let everyone come up.
Congratulations, my friend.
What? I don't believe we've really made it. Do they make this row every time a U-boat comes back?
Jenny, I'm only sorry that I was unable to hand you over to a neutral ship. But I will do everything to see that you and Captain Dias here are repatriated home. I promise.
Yeah, terrific. But the deal's still off concerning my statement.
It was off 6 days ago, Captain Dias. Since 1430 hours on December 11th.
Hard astern, Chief.
I don't get you.
That was when Germany declared war on the United States. Your country and my country have been officially at war for nearly a week. We received a signal shortly afterwards. I'm sorry. I swear I'll do all in my power to see that you're both repatriated.
Secure both fore and aft.
Mr. Mallin, where's my second watch officer?
Sorry, sir. I was taking down the signal.
Well, We made it, Mr. Mallon. What do you think of that, eh?
Congratulations, sir. I am only sorry that I let you down. Let me...
Well, shall I let you into a little secret, young Mallon? You would only owe me an apology if you had managed to shoot the crazy woman.
I don't understand, sir.
Well, if you go down to my cabin berth and look in my waste paper bin, you will find 40-odd bits of paper with your name on them. Then everything should be clear to you. Now, what is the signal?
You mean you
want it? The signal!
Yes, sir. It was received uncoded in English. Sunderland to U-boat, have found lifeboat. Lady occupant alive and well.
Ah!
Reference men in lifeboat? Well done. Message end.
Do you think they mean well done because we managed to hoodwink them, or well done because we managed to reach Brest?
Knowing the British, both, I fancy.
Both secure, fore and aft, sir.
Hmm? Ah, oh yes. Bridge, control room. Finished with engines.
The long, lonely voyage of U-395 was based on events in 1941, when several German U-boats rescued the crews of the surface raider, the Atlantis, and the supply ship, the Python, which had been sunk in mid-Atlantic by HMS Devonshire and HMS Dorsetshire. Some of the U-boats towed lifeboats crowded with survivors over 4,000 miles to the safety of ports in occupied France. It remains to this day the longest-reaching rescue operation in maritime history. The Long, Lonely Voyage of U-395 was written by James Follett. David Buck played Corvetten Capitaine Paul Emsman, Rod Beecham, Oberleutnant Max Strauss, Michael Maloney, Lieutenant Werner Mallin, Trevor Cooper, the Chief Engineer, and John Bott, Corvetten Capitaine Herman Bloch. Bob Sherman was Captain Walt Dias, Margot Boyd, Miss Stone, and Tammy Ustinov, Jenny. The play was directed by Glyn Dearman.